What's going on, everyone, and welcome back to the Surprise Jab Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Ruger, surprised with new topics every single week and jabbing you with your daily dose of UFC, and we are back with a fantastic episode. Today, as we have our UFC Vegas 109 predictions on today's episode. I'm pumped. All right, this should be a very fun card, you know, another Apex card. And mind you, the fights aren't that good per se, but look at last week. UFC Vegas 108 didn't have that good of fights, and they absolutely delivered with two. Fight of the Nights, that's got to be one of the rarest things I've ever seen. I'm yet to see that in my 5+ years of watching UFC. I've never seen two Fight of the Nights on the same card. Also on today's episode, got some new UFC fights to talk about, looking at the rankings. And yeah, that's about it. It is a UFC-loaded event or episode. I should better say a UFC-loaded episode today. Haven't seen any new movies, haven't really been any new sports news. I know that the NFL season is coming up, so we'll probably be talking about that a bit, a little fantasy football action. But other than that, I say we just dive right on into it with some new UFC matchups today, and we got some fun ones. All right, kicking off our new UFC fights, I should better say. Perth, that's right, UFC Perth has a new light heavyweight matchup between Jimmy Crute. He is back already following that win over, was it Michael Okojasek? Who did he beat? Oh my gosh, he recently submitted someone around Marcin Prachinio. That's who it was. He's back to take on Ivan Ersling, and Ivan Ersling is already 0-2 in the UFC, so they're just trying to feed Jimmy Crute some matchups, get him back in the win column, which I absolutely love. And Jimmy Crute's the hometown boy. Ivan Ersling's coming out of Croatia, so would have kind of liked to have seen Ivan fight on a more European card. I know they're planning to go to Qatar later in the year, but Perth for Jimmy Crute, good stuff there. That should be a fun matchup. Another one for you, this one in the light heavyweight division, also on that Perth card. I have no idea how he's still in the UFC, but the 6-4 Junior Tafa, who recently lost to whom? Who did he lose to? Junior Tafa just lost an absolutely atrocious fight. Wasn't he submitted in round one or something? I think that went down at, what was it? I'm trying to remember. Oh my gosh, it was it Whitaker de Ritter where he lost? Oh my goodness, it has been a minute. Oh, that was on the UFC Baku card, if I'm not mistaken. He lost to, no, I have no idea where Junior Tafa just lost. He recently fought, I swear he just had a matchup. Was it Nashville? Yeah, he lost to Tuco Tukos. How embarrassing is that? Tuco Tukos is absolutely atrocious. Not to be mean, Tuco, you're better than me in MMA. But yeah, embarrassing stuff there. And as for Ibo Aslan, his opponent at UFC Perth, Ibo is currently on a 2-fight losing streak, and it's been less than pretty. He recently also lost to someone. Ibo was supposed to absolutely knock out, I think it was Billy Elekana, and he just completely whiffed in that match. Before that, he had lost to Ian Kutalaba, and I thought Ibo was going to be ranked by the end of the year in the top 10. But anyways, this one should be either a hit or a miss. I hope someone gets knocked out, but UFC Perth is loading up on their fights. Here's a super fun one. I'm actually pumped for this one. It's kind of sad. UFC Shanghai, we have lost Marco Tulio versus Michelle Pereira. Marco Tulio, unfortunately, getting injured. So stepping in to replace Tulio to take out Michelle Pereira, none other than Kyle the Darce Knight Daukus. And Kyle was picked up a couple wins outside of the UFC after kind of getting brutally knocked out of the UFC. Was it Roman Dolidze who finished him or something? He got kicked out. He got, you know, his contract wasn't renewed, but he's 15-4 now. He's been doing pretty good. Unfortunately, he is being fed to Michelle Pereira, who is 31-13. He's also 9-4 in the UFC. Last two losses are to Abus Magomedov and Anthony Hernandez, who's actually in the main event, funny enough. So I'm probably riding with Michelle Pereira in this one, get another round one knockout, round one submission. However, should be fun nonetheless. Another one for you. This one's crazy. This one's actually crazy. UFC Vancouver, all right, October 18th, the number 14th ranked Bruno Silva back after getting knocked out by Joshua Van, here to take on the recently 10-1 Hyung Sung Park. That's right, Hyung Sung Park fought last Saturday. This fight was announced on Thursday. So literally 5 days, 4 days removed from his last defeat to Tatsuya Taira. He's already back, already getting a ranked opponent. I absolutely love it. And honestly, I think I might ride with Hyung Sung Park in this one. Bruno Silva's on his way out. He's 35 years old. Hyung Sung Park is coming in. He's, well, I guess he's 30, so he's not too much younger, but Kyungsung Park already back in action. You'll love to see it. That UFC Vancouver card is slowly building up, which I absolutely love. Speaking of the flyweight division, going on to our UFC Rio card, October 11th, you have Rafael Filho back in action to take on Concrete Clayton Carpenter. And Clayton recently lost his first professional bout to none other than Tagir Limbekov, who he took the distance, so yeah, it's kind of a win right there. As for Rafael Filho, he has wins over Ode Osborne and Daniel Perez in the UFC. This should be very competitive. I actually don't know who I'm riding with. Rafael, 16-4, has much more experience, but Clayton, we showed he's an absolute dog, holds wins over Lucas Rocha and Edgar Chavez in the UFC. This should be a fun one, and especially for the UFC Rio card, Brazilian USA guy, they're going to be rooting heavily for the Brazilian. But let's get into our two biggest matchups that we have to talk about with you all today. Marlon Vera versus Amin Zahabi at UFC Vancouver is official. Not even the main event. I just want to add that not even the co-main event could become the co-main event. But as of right now, not even the co-main event. Number 7th ranked Marlon Vera back after his defeat to, was it Deiveson Figueiredo he lost last to? I can't remember if he had a fight in between there. I think his last loss was Deiveson Figueiredo. And as for Amin Zahabi, he just retired Jose Aldo, like officially retired Jose Aldo. Dude's ranked number 10. I absolutely love this. Amin fights out of Canada. This is a hometown matchup for him, and this is a chance for him to go from number 10 to truly into the top 10 of the division. He'll be ranked number 7 if he wins this, potentially even number 6. This is a massive opportunity for Amin Zahabi, and I think he's going to get past Marlon Vera here. I think Marlon's on his way out. However, you never know with this Ecuadorian. Sometimes he pulls it together and gets a big victory. But Marlon Vera, Amin Zahabi, the second biggest matchup we've had announced this week. As for the biggest, I'm sure you've heard, UFC Rio de Janeiro, October 11th, has its official main event as the number 4 ranked Charles Dubronx. Oliveira is back already to take on the number 10 ranked Rafael Fiziev. That's right, both these guys. Very quick turnarounds, especially Oliveira, who's just knocked out cold by Itapira. But I've noticed a trend when Itapira beats someone, beats Josh Emmett pretty handsomely, Josh Emmett knocks out Bryce Mitchell, beats Volkanovski, Volkanovski wins back the featherweight championship, beats Max Holloway, Max Holloway retires Dustin Poirier. So I think Oliveira bounces back right here, especially for Fiziev. I don't want to say his win over Ignacio Mohamedov was lacking, but it wasn't anything impressive whatsoever. There was nothing there where I was like, oh my gosh, he's going to be a world beater. No, I didn't see any of that. But this one, Charles Oliveira, Rafael Fiziev, I got Charles in round one. You know, you can get my prediction 3 months early. I am riding with my boy Charles Oliveira. He's no longer taking on one of the greatest fighters we've ever seen in Itapira. He's taking on a guy in Rafael Fiziev who is only win in the last, what is it, 5-4 years or something is over Ignacio Mohamedov. Yeah, I'm definitely riding with Charles in this one. People are saying he's going to get knocked out. I have not seen that knockout ability from Rafael Fiziev in a long time. That Rafael Dos Anjos win, that was 3+ years ago. All right, so we can move on from that, but that's easily the biggest fight that we've had announced, and honestly, it is absolutely fantastic. It's a fantastic matchup, and the rest of the fights on this card are just amazing. Just utterly amazing, so looking forward to that. But without further ado, I say we waste no more time. We get right into our UFC Vegas 109 official predictions. I mean, it's going to be so good. Going to be so good. I am pumped for it. And I'm going to try and get my screen to show the fights up here. I'm still learning. We are trying to record our first ever episode filming myself. And let me just tell you, it is much more of a challenge than I thought. So new layout, add item. This is tough when we do this on the fly. If you're listening live, you can just hear my internal struggles. You can hear what I go through while trying to do this. So we're seeing if this will work. If not, then we're just going to have to record my actual thoughts. But I thought it would be fun to show the card. I guess not. You know what? We're actually going to pause this and get back right to it. Oh, yeah, you already know. We're back. We solved it. And I love that you guys get to hear my inner dialogue as I work out all of this technology. You know, as technology savant or savant as I am, as technology savvy as I claim to be, I'm honestly not at times. Honestly, it's tougher than I thought. But here we are. This is your entire UFC Vegas 109th UFC Vegas card in front of you here today. And we're going to go through. We're going to drop our predictions. And unless I misplaced my highlighter, I thought we were going to be highlighting all of this. Gosh, we are so unprepared today, ladies and gentlemen, but it's okay. This is our first time ever filming ourselves for the podcast, I guess officially. I guess when I've had guests, I've done it. But here you are, UFC Vegas 109, and we get things kicked off a bit unconventional as this fight was made yesterday, and I just haven't had time to get any notes going for it. So Cody Brundage, Eric McConkiel will be kicking off our card. Cody Brundage, 11-6 with one draw and one no contest. Eric McConkiel, 9-3-1, 6 foot for both these gentlemen, 5 inches in reach for Eric. Pretty notable right there. 77 inches is 72 southpaw with the left for Eric, orthodox with the right for Cody Brundage. And I honestly thought Cody had a nickname, so I'm a little perplexed by that. But let's check in first with Cody Brundage. So I'll just have to write this in on my sheet. This fight was really made short notice. I'm very perplexed by this, but Cody Brundage, he's coming in here and he's just had the weirdest career. Cody Brundage has honestly had the weirdest UFC career that I've ever seen. You know, if we just look at his run, just from the get-go, you know, loses on Damage Contender Series, the debut against Nick Maximoff, embarrassing. Then gets back-to-back round one finishes, then gets finished by Michael Jacek, then gets finished by Rodolfo Vieira, then has the weirdest fight. Look at this against Cedric Dumas. Gets 2 takedowns, gets controlled for 11 minutes. I mean, abysmal. Then takes on Jacob Malkoon. Almost looks like the John Jones fight. Almost looks like the John Jones fight here with, Jacob Malkoon. Jacob Malkoon is just leveling him on his back, just laying into him. Lands one illegal elbow, debatable if it's illegal, and the fight stopped. The fight is absolutely, and he wins by DQ. Ridiculous. Then comes the Zachary Reese fight. In the Zachary Reese fight, Zachary Reese locks in a beautiful, beautiful armbar, gets slammed on his head, and gets the slam finish. Insane. Then winds up on the UFC 300 main card against Bo Nickel. Can you believe Cody Brundage was on the main card over Jiří Procházka, over Deiveson Figueiredo, over Naoto Moicano? Insane. Insane. Obviously, loses that one pretty handsomely. Then takes on Abdulrazak Al-Hassan, and that is ruled a no contest after I'm pretty sure Cody got injured or something there, like got poked in the eye or something. It was ridiculous. By the way, 23 significant strikes to one, he was losing. Then takes on Julian Marquez, is about to get knocked out. The ref stops the fight to let, I think it was either Julian or Cody put their mouth guard back in, and then Cody knocks him out. Ridiculous. And as you can see, an overturned draw against Mansoor Abdul Malik. He originally had lost it. He appealed, and the committee overturned the win for Mansoor to a draw. I mean, Cody Brundage has had the weirdest run by far, and he's one of the toughest guys to predict because, honestly, he is so unpredictable. I'm so confused how he's even still in the UFC. As for Eric, we know a little about Eric. You know, this is his second UFC appearance. Last time he fought in Seattle, and Nursultan Rizaboyev just destroyed him. Just utterly destroyed him. 20 significant strikes to 5. Dropped him twice in round 2. I mean, 33 seconds in, knocked him out. I mean, it was embarrassing. So we don't know much about Eric. And what we do know is that Cody Brundage loves to finesse wins. He is an expert at finessing wins, and that is what he does best. So without further ado, we'll say Cody Brundage. And honestly, he hasn't gotten himself a submission in a minute, so we're going to say round one submission for Cody Brundage, a little guillotine. We'll say a round one guillotine, Eric will shoot or something, and Cody will lock it in. But after this one, I do have notes for each and every one of these matchups. First up, Gabriela Fernandez, if you will, takes on Julija Storyalenko. And Gabriela is coming in as the -400 favorite. Julija Storyalenko at +310 is the underdog. Gabby is 10-3. Julija 11-9-2. Wow. Just a goofy UFC record there, or MMA record. 5'7 to 5'6, 1 inch in height for Julija. They both have a 66 inch reach and a southpaw stance for Gabby, orthodox for Storyalenko. Interesting. Very interesting. These two are pretty similar. Only really thing you can peek out here is an inch in height for Julija, which isn't much. Let's start with Gabriela in the red corner. 31 years old from Brazil. Actually trains at MMA Masters. Some other notable people to train at MMA Masters: Ricardo Lamas, Colby Covington, Nate Diaz, and Nate Landwehr. Actually, not Nate Diaz, Nate Landwehr, and Ito Piura. That's right. He has even trained at MMA Masters. Of those 10 wins, 2 knockouts and 4 subs. And Gabby's coming in 2-fight winning streak, and both of them big upsets. Big upsets. You know, this is the first time in a while she's been a favorite in a fight. Obviously, as you can see, debuts in 2023, loses to Jasmine Jessica-DeVicious, then loses to Teresa Bleda. Clearly a grappling disadvantage. Overcomes that against Carly Giudice, wins a split decision fight of the night. By the way, Carly Giudice is on absolute run. I'm actually pretty sure she's on like a 2-fight finishing streak. So she's an absolute savage. And following that, beats Wang Kong, and she was a +900 underdog in that fight. That's right. You put $100 down, you won $9,000 Oh my goodness. All on Gabriela Fernandez. And you know what? She's good at getting finishes. She's good at pulling off upsets. So she'll see how she does in the favorite spot when she takes on Julija Storyalenko. And Julija, 32 years old, born in Kaunas, Lithuania. She fights out of Lithuania. And out of those 11 wins, she has 10 submissions. That's right. She's only ever been the distance once. Of her 8 losses, she's been finished 5 times, 4 by knockout, 1 by sub. And as you can see here from her UFC record, it's awful. I have no idea how someone with a 2-6 UFC record is still in the company. Obviously, you know, Yana Santos is a notable name. Julia Vila, she used to be ranked. Alexis Davis used to be ranked. The Jessica Rose Clark armbar, that was a big upset. Chelsea Chandler, that's embarrassing. Getting knocked out by Chelsea Chandler. The Molly McCann armbar was a massive upset win, but then last time she fought in February, just destroyed by Luiana Carolito. Just with 8 seconds left, just getting ground and pounded to death. What was the total strikes in that matchup? 138-21. It was abysmal. So Julija leaves little to be desired. She's 11-9-2. She's yet to really do anything. You best betcha we're going with Gabriela Fernandez. Break out the highlighter and we're locking it in. You can also follow all my predictions on Verdict MMA. Find me on there. I think it's ZTR2002, Zach Ruger, some The Zach Ruger. You can find me on there. And that's where I have all my official predictions locked in on Verdict MMA. It's a big MMA app. If you're an MMA fan, why aren't you on there? Get on Verdict MMA. But Gabby over Julija, we don't need to waste much time with this one. We really don't. Should be interesting. We'll have to see. But women's flyweight division, you know, it is what it is. Next up, welterweight division as Euros the Dr. Medich takes on Gilbert the RGV bad boy Urbina. Gilbert, what type of nickname is this? What type of nickname is this, Gilbert? Euros 10-3, Gilbert 7-4. 2 inches in height for Gilbert, 6'3" to 6'1", and 4 inches in reach, 75-71. Orthodox for Gilbert, southpaw for Euros Medich. Ooh. Very interesting. Euros is -350. Gilbert at +285 is the underdog. A lot of favorites on this card. I kid you not, a lot of favorites on this matchup. Let's go with Euros Medich to kick things off. Euros Medich coming into this one. 32 years old, born in Serbia, but now actually fights out of Anchorage, Alaska. Funny enough. 8 knockouts and 2 subs give him a 100% finishing rate. Oh, and by the way, of his 3 defeats, he's been knocked out once and submitted twice. This dude has never been the distance. It's actually pretty crazy. He was actually supposed to fight Chaos Williams on UFC 316, but unfortunately pulled out of that matchup. So first time we're seeing him this year after, actually second time after getting knocked out by Punelli Soriano. That was an upset for Punelli Soriano. For Euros, you know, you can see he's won on Damascus Contender Series. He's gotten some finishes here, 2 performance bonuses. Biggest career win is Tim Means, which doesn't really say much. But to be fair, the losses to Jalen Turner and Majdubek Orhalbay, those are valid. The loss to Punelli Soriano, not very valid. So this guy was fighting at welterweight for a while. He's now since moved up to middleweight. We'll see how this treats him here when he takes on Gilbert Urbina, if that affects him at all. But he's back at welterweight, so that's the luck to him. His opponent, Gilbert Urbina. Gilbert is 29 years old, born in Ohio, but now fights out of Texas at Jackson Wink MMA. You know who else fights out of Jackson Wink MMA? Carlos Conda, Diego Sanchez, and John Jones. I swore Kevin Holland also fights out of Jackson Mink Wink. I'm thinking something else, maybe. Of his 7 wins, 2 knockouts, and 2 submissions. And of his 3 defeats, of his 4 defeats, he's been finished 3 times. His dude is actually supposed to fight Mike Mallett earlier this year, and instead Mike Mallett, I think, ended up fighting someone who he knocked out, so worked out well for him. But actually, I think it was Charles Radke. Did he fight Charles Radke? Yeah, Charles Radke fought Mike Mallett. That was actually the short notice fight which took place. That was actually, funny enough, the last guy to beat Gilbert Urbina. Gilbert, as you can see, 1-2 in the UFC, losses to Brian and Charles, but he does also win over Orion Kosk, even though Orion Kosk kind of freaking sucks, if I'm being honest. You know, Gilbert hasn't mounted much. Doesn't really have a chin, hasn't really done anything. Last win was 2 years ago. Everything's pointing towards a win here, of course, for what's-his-face, Euros Medich, but it's almost impossible to tell. Almost impossible to tell. We're going to go with Euros Medich. We're probably going to say round 2 knockout for Euros. He's never been the distance, and I can almost guarantee this fight is not going the distance. However, it would seem that potentially this would be the one fight where he does go the distance. So we'll have to see. But Euros Medich over Gilbert Urbina, round 1 knockout. That's my official prediction. Next up, we had just some ranked women's bantamweights. Funny enough, and as I look at the women's bantamweight rankings right here, I don't know if I can actually share that screen. Am I allowed to share that screen? There we go. Beautiful. We can see it. As we go to the women's bantamweight rankings, if we'll let me scroll down, Jocelyn Edwards in here at number 14 will be welcoming none other than Priscilla Cashwaite. And this is a fun fight. That's a really fun fight, you know, for the women's bantamweight division. And that's because both these women are coming off of knockout wins. So Jocelyn La Pantera Edwards, 15-6. Priscilla Zombie Girl Cashwaite, 13-6. 5'8 to 5'7, 1 inch in height for Jocelyn. 5 inches in reach. Very notable for her, 70 inches to 65. Orthodox stance for both of our ladies. Jocelyn coming in at -250. Priscilla coming in at +205. She is the underdog. That's right. Jocelyn -250 is the favorite. And we'll actually start with Jocelyn. She's ranked number 14. She's worked her way back after going on two straight losing streaks. And you know what? Right now, two fight winning streak by finishes. You love to see it. 29 years old from Panama. She now trains out of Kings MMA. Some other people who train at Kings MMA: Rafael Dos Anjos, Shogun Hua, Fabricio Verdum, and Benil Dariush. Huh. Good for her. Out of her 15 wins, she has 10 finishes, 6 KOs, and 4 subs. And she was actually supposed to take on Myra Bueno Silva here. Myra Bueno Silva, by the way, is ranked number 8. However, Myra pulled out. Oh, shocker. Myra Bueno Silva pulling out of a fight. And instead, in steps Priscilla Cashwaite. So at least we get to see Jocelyn Edwards fight again. I always do enjoy watching her fight. You know, she's not too bad of a fighter. As you can see, starts off her career pretty good in the UFC, then loses two straight, wins three straight, loses two straight, and was really looking for some place. You know, what she could do. Submitting Tamiris Vidal, that's a start. Earlier this year, Kansas City knocks out Chelsea Chandler in 2.5 minutes. That is what you do. Jocelyn coming in with some momentum, coming in off a beautiful knockout. I'm really liking her odds here. However, won't be easy as she takes on Priscilla Cashwaite. 36 years old from Rio de Janeiro. Of her 13 wins, she has 8 knockouts. And of her 6 defeats, she's been submitted 4 times. And she has just had the craziest UFC run. Debuts against Valentina Shevchenko. As you can see, Valentina utterly dismantles her. Then fights Molly McCann. Then fights Liliana Carolina. Then gets 2 knockout wins. Good for her. Then gets submitted by Jillian Robertson. Then fight of the night. Round 1 knockout. Then Miranda Maverick submits her. Jasmine Justice Vicious submits her. By the way, this is one of the most dominant wins I've ever seen against Jasmine Justice Vicious. 320 total strikes at 26. I mean, what? So Priscilla kind of was in the dump, but then fought earlier this year in March, knocked out Josia Nunez, and she's looking pretty good. So both these ladies coming in off of impressive wins. This is 50-50. If you ask me, but I think, you know, this isn't Tamiris Vidal for Jocelyn. This isn't Josiane Nunez for Priscilla Cashwaite. These two are both tightly matched up. And when these two go at it, my prediction is that Jocelyn is going to get it done. I think she's going to lean more on the grappling in this matchup. And, you know, whoever wins this is going to be looking up. You know, but especially for Jocelyn, if she gets the 3 straight wins, she'll probably move up to number 13, maybe even number 12 in the division, and she'll be looking at another top 10 opponent. So we're going to lock in our prediction with Jocelyn Edwards by round 3 submission. I think she's getting another round 3 submission. Break her down, continue to grapple, finally catch her slipping in round number 3. Next up, one of the biggest favorites on the card, and this one is a prospect watch. Prospect watch here as Elijah Smith takes on Toshima Kazama in the men's bantamweight division. Elijah Swift Smith, good nickname. 8-1, Toshiyama 11-4. 5'9 to 5'7, 2 inches in height for Elijah and 2 inches in reach as well. 71 inches to 69 inches. Orthodox stance for both of these gentlemen. And Elijah is under a month older than me. Funny enough, it's so cool to see people around my age. I'm 22 years old, turned 23 in October coming up. It's always cool to see guys in the UFC that are my age just kicking butt. It's honestly incredible. But Elijah, -515, Toshiyama, +370. Oh my goodness. This is one of the biggest favorites I've seen in a while, and I've seen a lot of favorites. Elijah Smith, let's start with him. 22 years old from Colorado Springs, Colorado. He's currently on a 6-fight winning streak. Very cool. 4 knockouts and 1 sub, give him 5 of his 8 wins by finish. And his only loss was to Reyes Cortez in 2023. And funny enough, Reyes Cortez is a former UFC fighter. And that was actually for a championship. But since then, Elijah has been on absolute roll. Won on Day One's Contender Series, then beat Vince Morales in his debut. Wasn't the most dominant win. And I think Vince Morales gave him more of a run than he should have. But at the same time, you know, you always have to deal with tough fighters. It's always going to happen. And for Elijah, this might have just been the start of his UFC career and, you know, tough win right there. But his opponent, Toshiyama Kazama, has had a very interesting run. Toshiyama is 28 years old from Japan, and 9 of his 11 wins have came by finish, 3 KOs, and 6 subs. Of his 4 defeats, he's been finished 3 times by knockout. So, as you can see here, Rinya Nakamura knocked him out, and Garrett Armfield knocked him out. But he won on road to the UFC. Last time he fought in August, he beat Charlampis Griago, got performance on that triangle choke. So, not completely out of the cards for Toshiyama to pull off some crazy upset or something. But I don't know. I think Elijah is just going to get a decision win here. I think it's going to be one of those that each land takedowns, each land big shots. But Elijah is going to do more. He's the younger prospect by 6 years. And that's just what I'm thinking. You know, he's minus 515 for a reason. And as I look at the start of this card, you know, you could honestly ride with any underdog on this entire card. You really could. But I get this feeling that a lot of these prelim matchups are going to go to the favorites. Now, when we get to the main card, that's where you're going to start to see the underdogs come alive. But we are going to go with Elijah Smith by decision. I think if this fight is anything of entertainment, I will be very surprised and very happy. So that's safe to say. With that, I think this is going to be a 6-fight main card. So this is going to be your final prelim. And we're back in the men's light heavyweight division. Julius Juicebox Walker taking on Rafael the Lion Cerquera. Julius 6-1, Rafael 11-2, 6'4 to 6'3. Got some tall boys, 1 inch in height for Julius and 2 inches in reach as well. 78 to 76. Orthodox stance for Julius, southpaw for Rafael Cerquera. Julius minus 605, massive favorite. Rafael coming in at plus 455. Whew. And I tell you guys, a lot of heavy favorites on this card. Julius, 26 years old, born in Connecticut, but now fights out of Missouri. Of his 6 wins, 6 finishes, 4 knockouts and 2 subs. And his 1 loss is a split decision fight of the night against Alonzo Menifield back in Seattle. Yeah. Clearly, Julius Walker is UFC ready. He just ran into a Alonzo Menifield that wasn't fighting someone in the top 15. All right. So Julius in that fight was in it the entire time. He landed some big shots on Alonzo Menifield. As you can see, he even landed a takedown on him. Julius is clearly ready for another shot. And I think they're priming him up to get a round one knockout when he takes on Rafael Cerquera. And Rafael Cerquera, 35 years old from Brazil, actually trains out of Galupa da Lula, or however you say it, same gym as Halton Almeida, I think number 5 ranked women's heavyweight. Actually, where is Halton Almeida nowadays? Where is he ranked? Halton is number 5, just as I knew it. And of his 11 victories, Rafael Cerquera has 8 knockouts and 2 subs. Now, both of his losses have came to by knockout. Both of them have been embarrassing. Both of them have been in the UFC. I'll say that for certain is that Rafael Cerquera has had a rough go. Rough go. Debuts against Ibo Aslan, knocked down 51 seconds. Takes on Modestus Bukauskas, knocked down 2 minutes and 12 seconds. And the Modestus one was far worse than the Ibo one because Modestus actually put him out cold, which was fun to see, as especially as a Modestus Bukauskas fan. Love seeing that. But yeah, Rafael Cerquera knocked down his last 2 matchups. I mean, I don't really have to spend any time on this. If Rafael pulls off the upset, I will be severely, severely surprised. I'm going with Julius Walker by round one knockout. I liked what I saw from Julius before. 9 years younger. He's also coming off a split decision, you know, lost fight of the night. And Rafael's been knocked out cold last 2 matchups. And, you know, Ivan didn't necessarily knock him out cold. But yeah, Modesto Bukauskas has put him out cold. So for the prelims, riding with Cody Brundage, riding with Euros Medic, riding with Gabriel Fernandez, riding with Jocelyn Edwards, riding with Elijah, riding with Julius. Hate to say it, we got no underdogs on the prelims. But let's get into the main card where, honestly, I'm feeling a bit more risky, guys. I'm feeling a bit more risky here with our main card predictions. And, you know, I'll say this, is that this main card, it's not too bad. Not too bad of a main card, especially for the Apex. You know, it's tough to really get good fights in the Apex. So you just have to take them as they come. And we kick things off. Middleweight division, Eric your boy Anders taking on CLD Christian Leroy Duncan. Eric Anders 17-8 with 1 no contest. Christian Leroy Duncan 11-2, 6-2, 6-1. 1-inch in height for Christian Leroy Duncan, 4 inches in reach as well, 79 inches, 75. Southpaw for Eric, Switch Stance for CLD, and Eric is plus 425. CLD is minus 575. So we're actually going to start with Eric Anders here. Eric Anders coming in, 38 years old from San Antonio, now fights out of Birmingham, Alabama. 10 knockouts and one sub of his 17 victories. He's only ever been finished twice out of his 8 career losses. Now, mind you, those have come against Andre Munez and against Thiago Santos. So very tough competitors, including the Thiago Santos one was in the main event, for goodness sake. As of late, he has been competing in some grappling matches over the last 3 years. He's actually taken on Joe Pfeiffer, Kyle Daukaus, who we're seeing fight Michelle Pereira in Shanghai, and even Andre Petrovich, or Petrovsky, who is a known grappler. But Eric's been on a good run. You know, Eric has had a crazy run in the UFC. This is year number 8 for Eric. And, you know, he's fought some tough guys. Lyoto Machida, split decision. Thiago Santos, fight of the night. Khalil Roundtree Jr., he took the distance. Jared Meerschaert, he's beaten. He's fought Andre Munoz, Julian Park. Marc-Andre Balliut was his last defeat. Fight of the night. And, you know, since then, beaten Jamie Pickett and beat Chris Weidman. He actually knocked out Chris Weidman, and just an insane fight. Chris Weidman knocked out Eric Anders, should have knocked him out, and then Eric flipped the tide and finished him in round number 2. So Eric's coming in with a little bit of momentum. Good for him. He's 38, still trying to pick up some wins, and if he wins here, he'll be on a 3-5 winning streak, 4-1 his last 5, only losses of fight of the night to MAB, and he could be looking at a ranked opponent, but it won't be easy as he takes on the 30-year-old coming at you from Gloucester, England. I was trying to think where he was from in England, and yes, Christian is from Gloucester, and the minus 575 favorite has 8 knockouts and 1 sub of his 9 career finishes of his 11 victories. CLD coming in, he's 4-2 in the UFC. Dusko Todorovic beat by injury, lost the decision to Armin Petrosian, finishes Destululin and Claudio Ribeiro, then loses to Gregor Rodriguez. The last time he fought, beat Andrei Puliev in March. Just, you know, coming in, massive prospect coming out of England. A lot of hype with this guy, and he just hasn't lived up to it. If I'm being honest, he has not lived up to the hype whatsoever. I will say the one thing that both these guys got going for them is it's their first time fighting at light heavyweight. You know, these two guys have fought in that middle. Oh, this is at middleweight. I thought this was at light heavyweight for some reason. So you never know what you're going to get with these guys, and I think it's going to be a bit slower paced. And I really do like CLD here, especially being that Eric Anders' wins are always sloppy. But, you know, Eric got a win in the Apex. He's been knocked down his last 3 fights. I find that absolutely crazy. I don't know, guys. I don't know. Eric Anders could turn back the clock. CLD could get it done. I'm going to be honest. We got to pick some underdogs here. And honestly, I'm going to be rooting for Eric nonetheless. We're going to go with Eric Anders to pick up a split decision victory where everyone thinks CLD is going to probably get the nod here, but we're gonna ride with Eric. Why not? He's 38. How many more times are we gonna see Eric Anders fight? Gotta pick him at least a couple times. And for this main card, I love a lot of underdogs on here, so we'll have to see. But yes, we are gonna go with Eric Anders as our first upset of the night over Christian Leroy Duncan. Moving on, men's bantamweight action, and neither of these guys are ranked right now, but whoever wins this one, I presume, will get a ranked opponent, as Miles Chapo Johns, 15-3 and with 1 no contest, takes on the 16-1 Gene Matsumoto, 5'7" to 5'6", 1 inch in height for Miles. Both men have a 68-inch reach, and both men same in the orthodox fighting position, fairly similar. This is some of the closest odds on the card, minus 285 for Gene, plus 225 for Miles Johns. I kid you not, guys, there is a lot of big underdogs on this card, and this one's tough. This one's going to be tough. It's going to be gritty, and it's going to be good. Let's start with Miles Johns in this one. 31 years old from Kansas, born in Kansas, but now fights out of Texas. Actually, I think it's Dallas. Fights out of Dallas at Fortis MMA. Diego Ferreira trains there. Ryan Superman's band, Jeff Neal, and Muhammad Usman. That's right, they all trained there. Now, of his 15 wins, he has 6 finishes, 4 knockouts and 2 subs. This is a decision merchant, and he's only I think of his 3 defeats, he's been finished twice. So Miles, more often than not, is going the distance. Won his Dana White's Contender Series matchup in 2019, debuted 1, then got hit with a flying knee by Mario Bautista. Then 2 performance of the nights, amazing. Then gets finished by John Castaneda. Then picks up a win, was supposed to get a win over Dan, but that was overturned. Beats Cody Gibson, beats Douglas Silva de Andrade, runs into Felipe Lima, and and it loses a decision there to end 2024. So Miles, you know, 31, he's still young. It's just he hasn't done much. You know, he had those two exciting matchups, performance of the night, knockouts, and since then, nothing. Nothing has really mounted for him, and it's kind of sad to see because Miles Johns has a lot of potential. He's got the look. He's got the moxie, but that's just not really translating into his abilities. By the way, Felipe Lima is tough. Douglas and Silva de Andrade, that was a boring matchup nonetheless. So we'll see how Miles does as he takes on the absolute killer that has been Gene Matsumoto. Gene, 25 years old from Sao Paulo, Brazil. 9 of his 16 wins are by finish, 3 KOs and 6 submissions. And yes, his only lone defeat is to Rob Font, which he lost to in Seattle by split decision. Now, in that matchup, I do want to say I thought Gene won. I did pick Rob, but I thought Gene got enough done. You know, round two, 5 of 5 on takedowns. Round three, outstruck him a bit significantly by one. So I thought Gene did enough. But hey, you know, we picked Rob Font, so our prediction was right. Nonetheless, however, I would have liked to have seen Gene Matsumoto get the nod. So far, you know, won in the contender series, submitted Dan Argueta in his debut, and then beat Brad Katona by decision. So nothing much has really happened in the career of Gene Matsumoto. But I just think if we're comparing two guys that go the distance, if we're comparing two guys that have similar fighting styles, I'm going with the younger guy. I'm going with Gene Matsumoto here. I just love me some Gene Matsumoto. And especially being that he took Rob Font, who we've seen Rob Font has murdered prospects before. Look at Adrian Yanez, who he turned back. Look at Cody Garbrandt when he's trying to make a career revitalization. Rob Font has turned them back. So I think Gene uses the grappling, gets the better of Miles Johns, and almost like drowns Miles Johns in just some grappling, which we're going to mention drowning and grappling in our main event. But for here, going with Gene Matsumoto, bantamweight division, only 25 years old. Best of luck to both of these competitors. Following that, we get into another interesting matchup here. I just love the interesting matchups here. Featherweight division, Andre Touchy Feely and C-Rod Christian Rodriguez. Andre 24-12, Christian 12-3. Oh, don't forget the one no contest for Andre Feely. 5'11 to 5'7, 4 inches in height for Andre Feely, 3 inches in reach for him as well, 74 to 71 orthodox stance for both of these fighters. Andre Feely plus 200, C-Rod minus 220. So at plus 200, that is officially the closest odds we have on this card. Can you believe that? Has that ever happened before where there's been an entire card, closest odds are a minus 200 and a plus 200? That says a lot about how, you know, discrepancy of, what am I trying to say? The discrepancy of the betting odds for this card are very high compared to the past ones that we've seen. Now, this matchup is super interesting. We're going to talk about it here in a second, but first let's talk about Andre Feely. 35 years old, born in Washington, the state, then moved to Sacramento, trains at Team Alpha Male with Uriah Faber, Song Yadong, Josh Emmett, some of the people that fight at his gym. Of his 24 wins, 13 finishes, 10 knockouts, and 3 subs. And of his 12 defeats, he's been finished 7 times, 4 by knockout, 3 by sub. And as of late, you know, as you can see, Andre Feely has just gone win-loss, win-loss, win, and a loss. Now, he's just had a pretty hectic career. That's just been the story of his entire run. So since joining the UFC, been with the company since 2013. This is year 12 for Andre Feely, and he's fought in some who's who. I mean, Max Holloway right there, Yair Rodriguez, Calvin Kattar, Michael Johnson, Sodiq Yusuf, Charles Redding, Bryce Mitchell. He's fought a lot of tough guys. Now, as of late, we'll look at the last 2 years. I was seeing a thing of wood that was a close fight. Lucas Almeida knocking him out, awesome. Get knocked out by Dan Figue, not awesome. Absolutely laying into Cub Swanson fight of the night, amazing. Did take on Melkus Acosta, but Melkus Acosta is kind of on a run right now. He's actually 3-0 in 2025, 4-fight winning streak. So don't really want to hold that against him too much. I will say the grappling disadvantage has always been there, and when he takes on a power puncher, that'll hurt him. But Andre Feely, no matter what, is always in the fight. At 35, now's the better time than ever to get some wins together and try and get a ranked opportunity. But we'll see how he does against the Prospect Killer. His name should be the Prospect Killer. That should be his nickname. And Christian Rodriguez. C-Rod, 27 years old from Milwaukee. Trains out of Rusenfort MMA Academy. Other people that train there, the Pettis brothers and Ben Askren. He used to train there. Funny enough. 3 KOs and 4 subs give him 7 of his 12 wins by finish. And yeah, this is literally the only people that C-Rod beats in the UFC are prospects. All right, let me take you through this one. First off, Reyes Cortez Jr. here. We mentioned him earlier. This was the lone guy to defeat Elijah Smith, funny enough. Then takes on his debut, Jonathan Pierce. Jonathan Pierce beats him. handsomely. Then takes on the undefeated Joshua Weems, hands him his first loss. Takes on the undefeated Ryan Rosas Jr., hands him his only loss. Takes on the undefeated Cameron Sabin, hands him his first loss. Takes on the undefeated Isaac Dalgarian, hands him his first loss. Takes on a ranked, takes on a veteran, you could say Julian Rosa, 30 plus fights, 30 something years old, gets submitted in round one. Takes on the undefeated Austin Machida this year, hands him his first loss. Takes on Melchizedek Acosta, who we know is a veteran, has like 23 wins, 7 defeats, loses pretty handsomely in that one. It is insane that Chris Rodriguez cannot beat staples of the division. He can only beat rising contenders, and it doesn't change here. And the fact he's an underdog, I love it even more. Give me Andre Feely, I think, a decision here. And Cerrone is just going to get frustrated. He's going to be shooting takedowns. Andre's going to be defending him against the cage, hitting him up in the clinch against the cage, maybe hitting him with leaving like a little 1-2 piece. Oh, man, in distance. Yeah, we're riding with Andre Feely. We got to pick some underdogs. I keep falling into this trap this year of only picking the favorites, and it never pays off. So going with the underdog, going with Andre Feely, featherweight division, I love it. So with that, we get into, I guess you call it the big three. It's our three ranked opportunities for the night, our three ranked fights. And we kick off the women's strike division as the number 12 ranked Angela Hill takes on the number 8 ranked Yasmin Lucindo. Should be good. Should be a good matchup here, I presume. Yasmin, 17-6 overkill. Angela Hill, 18-14. Wow. Both women, 5'3", 2 inches in height for a reach, I should say, for Yasmin, 66-64. Orthodox stance for both of our ladies. Yasmin coming in, -185. Angela Hill, +155. Oh, so the odds have dipped. These are the closest odds on our fight card. We'll start with the number 8 ranked Yasmin Lucindo. She is 23 years old from Brazil. Fights out of Academia Fight House, the same gym as the number 1 ranked Virna Jandidova in the women's strawweight division. Yasmin has 8 knockouts and 3 subs out of her career, 17 victories. And of her 6 defeats, she's been subbed 3 times. So far, had a fight in her debut against Yasmin Jiraguai. Banger fight. Banger co-main event. That was such a fun fight, that fight between those two. That was a great time. That was a great time. And after that, put together a great win streak. Brogan Walker, Poliana Viana, Caroline Kowalski, Marina Rodriguez, then took on Amanda Lemos earlier this year and, you know, just got dominated. Got grappled to death by Amanda Lemos. That fight sucked. That actually kind of dropped UFC 313 from being like a good pay-per-view to just being kind of a mid pay-per-view. And Yasmin, she's kind of green. We've seen the greenness come out, you know. She's good. She's very good, but certainly it was exposed to the Amanda Lemos fight, and we'll see if it's exposed. Over 18 wins, she has had 6 finishes, 5 KOs, and 1 sub, and of her 14 defeats, she's only ever been submitted twice. So if you're going to see Yasmin get done, it'll be a submission. Angela, been with the UFC since 2014. I mean, legend. All right, I don't really know what happened here. If we lost the screen or something, I don't really know. I don't even know if we lost our screen or something. This is the craziest test run that I've had in a while. So if you guys have been still able to hear my audio, that's good. If not, I'm sincerely sorry. This has been very janky. This has been very screwy. And I'm going to have to upload this pretty quickly. So I apologize in advance, but, you know, we're learning. I'm learning how to accurately do this. So I was just talking about, if you didn't hear me, a bunch of stuff about Steve Ersig, a bunch of stuff. My last pick was Angela Hill, Yasmin Lucindo. I don't know where we lost the feed, but yeah, my computer sucks. By the way, I really need a new computer. If anyone has any computer recommendations, please let me know. I desperately need a new computer. And if this is lagging, yeah, we'll try not to lag in the future. I do have terrible home Wi-Fi, so maybe I should record a library. But anyways, I was just talking about Steve Ersig. If everyone heard that, fingers crossed that it was still recording or that you just couldn't visually see me. But yeah, Steve Ersig, good stuff. Good stuff from Steve. We'll see if he can rebound. But now let's get into Ode Osborne. Ode coming in 33 years old from Jamaica, now fights out of Milwaukee somehow. Trains out of the same town as C-Rod, and they aren't even in the same gym. Must be multiple gyms in Milwaukee. 5 KOs and 5 subs give him his 10 of his 13 wins by finish. And of his 8 defeats, he's been finished 6 times, 4 by sub. Yikes. Now, for Ode, it's been a not the best run. so far in the UFC. Kind of just on, off, on, off. You know, look at him starting off his run. Wins on the Contender Series, loses his debut, then wins, then loses, then wins twice, then loses, then wins, then lost three straight. That really hurt him, but redeemed himself. Knockout win over Luis Garulli, where he was an underdog in that fight. So that was good stuff for him. But yeah, Oday, he's good at grappling. You know, knockout here, really good. But really, I'm looking at him, he's a grappler. Grappler through and through. And he's got the knockout power. He can get it done. But this is Steve Ercik. I remember Steve Ercik, who took on David Dorkon a couple of days' notice and beat him when he was ranked number 10. I remember him taking on Matt Schnell, knocking him out cold. I remember him sending the champion Pantoa to a decision where everyone was kind of like, is there a world where Steve Ercik wins this? You know, I remember that Steve Ercik. Again, I'm not giving out hope on Steve Ercik yet. Minus 400. Give me Stevie boy. Give him to me. I think in the striking department, he has a big advantage. In terms of grappling, I'm hoping he has improved since the Pantoa fight and he can take it to Oday and get it done. And Oday, respond to me on LinkedIn. I'm very upset. I wanted to have you on as a guest and you ghosted me. So I actually think he hearted my message. What is that, Oday? All right, now we're actually, this is personal. We are actively rooting for Steve Ercik in this matchup. So Steve or Oday, they would say round one knockout. Why not? But with that, ladies and gentlemen, that gets us into our main event. And unlike some cards, this main event is actually the best fight on the entire UFC Vegas 109 card. We head to the men's middleweight division as the number 10 ranked Anthony Fluffy Hernandez takes on the number 9 ranked Roman Dolidze. Does Roman even have a nickname? Does Roman have a good nickname even? No, he does not. But Fluffy Anthony Hernandez, that's a good nickname. 15-3 for Roman, 14-2 with a no contest for Anthony Hernandez. 6'2 to 6 foot, 2 inches in height for Roman, and 1 inch in reach, 76-75. Orthodox stance. These boys stand in the same stance. Plus 250 for Dolidze, minus 300 for Anthony Hernandez. That's right, he's the favorite here. We'll start with the number 9 ranked Roman Dolidze. 37 years old, born in Georgia, the country, now trains out of Extreme Couture in Las Vegas. Of course, same gym as Chris Curtis, Sean Strickland. Notable gym. 8 KOs and 3 subs give him 11 of his 15 wins by finish, and he's never been finished of his 3 professional defeats. And as you can see here, debuted in 2020, 2 straight wins, loses to Trevin Giles, picks up 4 straight wins, including wins over Kyle Daukaus, Phil Haas, and Jack Manson. Great run. Gets a shot against Marvin Vettori, loses. Then gets a main event against Nazanin Imavov, loses. But then beats Anthony Smith, beats Kevin Holland, and most recently beat Marvin Vettori in a main event. And I will say it was one of the most boring main events that we've had all year, but nonetheless, it's a main event. He went 5 rounds. He proved he can be dominant. So Dolidze, seen him lean on the striking through his last 3 matchups, but also lean the grappling against Kevin Holland and Anthony Smith. Now, Imavov kind of exploited him. That was kind of like the last time we really saw him get destroyed. That was over a year and a half ago, so since then, Dolidze buying his time, fighting in the apex. He's back again, main event against Fluffy Anthony Hernandez. Anthony coming in 31 years old from California on a 7-fight winning streak. At one point, Anthony Hernandez was 7-2. Now he is 14-2, absolute legend. Of those 14 wins, he's gotten 11 by finish, 3 KOs and 8 subs, and both of his losses he has been finished in. So yeah, Kevin Holland knocked him out and Marcus Perez knocked him out, but that was 6 and 5 years ago. I do want to say that this is a whole new Fluffy. Now, he actually has had an absurd 12 canceled bouts in the UFC. I don't know how many are his fault, but this dude has had 12 canceled fights in the UFC. It's utterly, utterly insane. One more fun fact, these two were supposed to fight at UFC 302 last June 2024. Unfortunately, that fight fell apart. But, you know, since losing to Kevin Holland in 2020, Hernandez has just been on a tear. Submitting Rodolfo Vieira, who is legit the BJJ hunter. Getting Josh Frem kicked out of the UFC. Manhandling Marc-Andre Barriot. Manhandling Emin Shabazian. Destroying Roman Kapilov. Destroying Michelle Pereira. And proving he is dominant against Brendan Allen. This is a grappler through, through, and through. Of this 7-fight winning streak, he has landed an insane 39 takedowns. This is just on this win streak. In terms of the entire UFC, yeah, he has landed, you see it right there, 45 takedowns so far in the UFC, and he has that drowning Khabib is on Makhachev lifestyle where he just like fails, gets pushed off, shoots back in, just keeps shooting back in, and he'll take you down and just swarm you, but he hunts for submissions. He's always on the submission hunt, and you know, I saw a lot of people picking Roman this week, and I'm a little offended, because you know, I'm not a guy who's picked Hernandez against Kopilov, against Michel Pereira, or against Brendan Allen. I have not been rocking with Anthony Hernandez, but I'm a recent fan, Anthony. I'm a recent fan, and I think he extends his win streak to 8, and he gets it done here. And look at that. He's ranked number 10. He could easily get up there to number 8 or even number 7, if you ask me. I'm going with Hernandez. I got Anthony Hernandez. Lock it in. Take it to the bank. And I'm thinking submission. I'm thinking submission. I think another thing is Roman. You know, he's 37. He's never been finished. I don't think even getting finished is on his mind. But to be fair, Marvin Vettori, when he beat him, never had him in any trouble. When he lost Nazanimov, he showed toughness, but he just showed he had a chin. Didn't really show any submission ability. So I'm going to say Hernandez, you know, might have some trouble in round one, but by the time he gets to round two, round three, he'll be landing successful takedowns, holding him down, finally getting the submission. And by round four, maybe even round five, Anthony Hernandez will go in for the kill, lock in a Darce choke, and put him away. So you have it right there. Your official main event prediction, Anthony Hernandez over Roman Dolidze in a late round four, round five, Darce choke. That's right. I like it. I like that prediction. I think it's going to go pretty well, if you ask me. But with that, ladies and gentlemen, that's all we got for today's episode. A lot of new fights, a lot of fun action on UFC Vegas 109. Lots going on, and we're learning. We're learning how to record ourselves. I have realized that I really need to record myself if I want this podcast to grow. So that's what we're going to do, and that's how it's going to go. Now, I've really worked out how to film an outro, any of that, but you did get a little intro. I learned how to add that. So actually, maybe I can add an outro video. Should we add an outro video? Should we try and add one? I think I could add stuff live. Can I? I don't know. I shouldn't even bother. Should I? I could. Let's add a little thank you. I'll add a little thank you here to end the video. But yeah, that's all I got for today's episode, ladies and gentlemen. Let me know who you guys are rocking with on the podcast. And I'll be back next time. So I'll catch you next time on the Surprise Jab Podcast.